ever wondered what affects the pricing, the coverage, or the availability of the insurances that you buy? My name is Peg Vaghey. I'm the executive manager at Broker Relationships here at CGU. CGU is a proud Australian company. We're owned by IAG, and for over 160 years, we've been insuring Australians and Australian businesses through the insurance products that we supply. We prepare the Strive Report every year. This is our third edition, and we really prepare the Strive Report so that we can coalesce all of the social, environmental, and economic factors that affect the insurances that you buy. Our aim is to make it really easy for you to unpack the reasons why your insurance might change and maybe help you prepare for the conversations that you're going to have with your broker or your insurers if you're coming up for renewal. This is the third edition of our Strive Report, and in this report, we're going to talk about some topical things like AI, claims, how is that affecting claims, and many, many more topics that I hope that you're going to join me for. I am so pleased to introduce Natalie May, our EM for People, Capability, and Communication. Welcome, Nat.
Lovely to be here. Thank you.
Now, I know that you get really involved in the subject that we're going to be talking about, and it's one of the chapters in our Strive Report, which is the widening generational gap. So I'm really looking forward to getting into that with you. But before that, maybe I just talk a little bit about yourself and what you do and what you're passionate about and how did you get into this role that you're in?
Sure. So it goes without saying that I'm passionate about people and enabling people to be the best versions that they can be of themselves. I've been in HR for many, many, many years across different industries, working for different companies, both in Australia and overseas. And how I got into this role in IA, I was previously in a role, I partnered with Jared Hill as his HR business partner. And I was really pleased with the way he wanted to focus on liberating talent, as I call it. So thinking about how we look at the talent that we have across our organization. We have over 2,000 people, and understanding how we can build their capability, understand what makes them tick, enable them to bring their whole selves to work. And with that, we decided to consolidate not only the people function, but also the internal communications and capability function, because it's the perfect way for ensuring we get the people experience right. The way we communicate to people, the way we share messages, the way we bring them along the journey, as well as uplift their capabilities. And I always say, even if you're not with us for a career lifetime, let's uplift your capability for the time that you are.
That's a really great segue into what we're going to talk about, which is obviously people and the differences between people. The generational gap has been this subject matter that everyone has been talking about. I think I've heard so many podcasts now about it, been to so many different sessions. What is this, you know, generational gap, and what are the generations?
Yes, it's a fascinating topic, and we do generalize about the different generation gaps, but I thought, let me just give you a flavor of how we sort of how the four generations have been captured in the workplace and how we talk about them, and the reason why we talk about them, because it's probably the first time in organizational history that we've got four generations working along one another within the same organization. So if we look at the differences between them, we've got our baby boomers. So our baby boomers are born between 1946 and 1964. We've then got what we call our Gen Xers, and they were born between 1965 and 1979. Our third generation are our millennials, or our Gen Ys. They are born between 1980 and 1994. And lastly, we have our Gen Zs, and they were born between 1995 and 2009. And I might take just a few minutes just to explain the differences between them. Yeah. When we look at our baby boomers, and they are sort of the more traditional, the more tenured people in our organizations. They respond to traditional authoritative leaders. They like clear directions, authority, and understanding what the plan is. They initiated the social enterprise movement, and they were all about driving significant cultural, economic, and social change. Today, they are actually referred to as the bank of mum and dad for their financial support.
I thought they were referred to just the boomers.
Both.
Yeah.
But really, younger generations looking up to them around financial support for the next generation. So they're also the generation who probably thought they might have been retired by now, but they're still amongst us in the workforce. If we look at our Gen X's, they value autonomy, they value approachable leadership, they enjoy being part of a team, but they also like the ability to take individual ownership and drive initiatives in the workplace. They are known for their anti-establishment mindset. They are the generation that benefited from the economic boom. Despite early challenges, though, they've thrived economically, and this is the generation whose net worth has continued to accelerate, probably more than any of the other generations in the workforce. If we look at our millennials or Gen Ys, they are the generation that are probably juggling the most in terms of competing priorities, and they're seeking clear communication and boundaries between work and life, and that continual work-life balance. They're known for their love of smashed avo with their morning coffee, specialty coffee, travel. However, rising house prices and stagnant wages have actually kept this generation out of the housing market, and hence they're looking to our first generation for that leg up. They are shaped by the times. They were profoundly affected by events of, for instance, September the 11th, 2001. And now in their 30s and 40s, they're starting to enter the formative years of parenting and early family life. And then finally, we have the Generation Zs.
And the Zoomers, they're called.
Zoomers, yeah, depending who you speak to, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not one of those. And they basically, they thrive under a coaching atmosphere. They like mentoring. Once again, they love approachability and transparent leaders. They're all about personal growth. They were shaped by the COVID era, so they've also learned how to adapt economically, socially, and technologically. They're very resilient. They push the boundaries. And contrary to stereotypes, they actually work very, very hard to achieve their goals. This generation probably volunteers more than any of the other and value sort of non-profit and fulfillment over making money. They are the generation we're really struggling in terms of the workforce because they've got completely different expectations of employers. So they want to know what the work is going to give them versus the other way around, what the environment they're stepping into looks like. The purpose of the company that they work for is really, really important to them. They've come in decades after the industrial 9-to-5 stagnant work patterns. And of course, they're highly proficient in technology. So those are the generations that are in the workforce. But I just wanted to spend a minute telling you about two generations that are going to be entering the workforce.
Yeah, please do.
So one of them is Generation Alpha. So Generation Alpha are born between 2010 and 2024. So
they're definitely no longer in that generation. It's far, far, far from that now.
Absolutely. Sad but true. But they are really the generation that's going to represent a new beginning. Unlike previous generations, they are absolutely born and shaped in the 21st century. Their birth coincided with the launch of Instagram and the iPad. They are highly tech savvy and probably don't have much patience for people who aren't. They are shaped by globalization and increased connectivity, and they're growing up in a unique landscape. They're not like past generations, but they're being molded by a new era.
So these are more the early teenagers, probably, yeah, like 13, 14, 15. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So they're not quite in the workforce yet, but they're coming into the workforce very quickly, yeah.
Absolutely. And I might speak to you a bit later about we're starting to bring more youngsters into the workforce and we're already seeing sort of the demands and the behavioral patterns around
that. That's interesting, yeah.
And then there's a generation that hasn't been born yet. They're going to be known as Generation Beta. And they are going to be born between 2025 and 2039. And the reason we think about them is they're going to make up 16% of the global workforce by the year 2035. And we won't spend too much time talking about them, but it's important for us to start as organizations thinking ahead of what their desires, needs, and wants are going
to
be.
So when you talk to us about all of those different generations, and you mentioned that we're in this period where the most amount of generations are coming together in the workforce, what does that look like in terms of representation right now?
It's tricky to say because it depends on industry. So you've got some industries with longer tenured people who don't tend to leave. You have some industries that are more high-tech and sort of recruiting from a different talent pool. But what it does look like is you've got multiple generations with very different points of view around things such as politics, ageism, tech, war, real estate. And because of this, the most important thing for organizations to think about is how are we going to get the best out of teamwork and collaboration? Because all have got valid points of view and valid starting points, but how do we sort of get the best out of all the generations and make sure workplaces are respectful and inclusive as we go about it?
I mean, I would tend to say, and this is just a guess, it's not backed by any research that we've done, but by observation, if I look at the broker market, and certainly, you know, I think in insurance, generally speaking, I think there is quite a bit of, you know, probably waiting towards the boomer generation. There's quite, insurance tends to be one of those industries that have quite a bit of boomers still, you know, and I think when I think back about, you know, retirement ages, there's a lot who are business owners and operators who will probably listen to this episode and think, you know, well, you know, how is this relevant to me? You know, am I just like, you know, being cast aside because I'm a boomer and, you know, my thoughts are no longer relevant? A lot of them do influence culture at the workplace. They influence recruitment patterns. They influence, you know, what kind of education they can give. What can we think about when we're talking about, you know, these brokers that own their businesses or maybe managers who are kind of in that generation, and as they're seeing all of these different generations kind of come into the workforce and interact with each other, what are the things that you think that they should be thinking of?
There are a number of things to really think about, but really to connect with a multi-generational workforce, brokers should really be thinking about how do we get the best out of all the generations. Nobody's casting anybody aside. There's no longer the feeling that you reach a certain age and you're out of there. And our younger generations really, really respect the experience that people bring to the table and long for that to be shared with them. Contrary to popular belief, the feeling that older generations want to work in the office and younger ones don't, we've actually found the opposite in our workforce, mm-hmm. where younger generations are saying, I need to sit alongside somebody who's got experience, tenure, and learn through osmosis. So that's something they should be mindful of. They should also consider just how different policies can cater to the different generations. Things around flexible working policies, mentorship policies, reward and recognition policies. Because once you understand what motivates different people, you can tailor things. I think we are going to have to get to the stage, particularly in our brokers, where you personalize the offerings based on what your people want and create personas around that as well.
So what do you think about rule creations? You said that we should be thinking about, you know, different policies for people. Is it more about the variety of the policies that you have, or is it more about, you know, we have to create something for each generation? How would you approach something like that?
I think it's tweaking. If I look at what used to be maternity leave policies, those were policies in our own company that only focused on females up until not recently. As times have evolved and we know it's not just about a female bonding with their child, it's a father as well, we tweak the policy to ensure any gender can have leave to adopt. So it's not coming up with reams and reams of new policies and procedures and rules, but thinking about as times evolve, how do we keep up with the times? How do we understand what's important to people and then tweak things and then maybe cut out things that aren't fit for purpose as we go along?
So in the workforce, there's obviously a lot to learn from the older generations and the more experienced generations. But then I see that there's also a little bit to learn from the younger generations.
Absolutely.
And do you see that in your experience, that there is this cross-pollination of ideas? And what do you think we can do to sort of encourage something like that?
Absolutely. So I think it goes both ways. I think it would be arrogant for any of the generations to think they've got nothing to learn from either the generation that comes before them or the generation that is to follow. And I love the quote by George Orwell, because he said, every generation imagines itself to be more intelligent than the one that went before it and wiser than the one that comes after it. And we don't want to fall into that trap. So some of the things that I've seen work really, really, really well, it sounds quite simple, but mentoring. Because we know we run a mentoring program where we know more. Some of our senior people are actually getting more out of being a mentor than some of our mentees are. Because there's that cross-pollination and sharing of, tell me about a time you did that, or how would you approach a problem? We have run programs such as the CEO Challenge, where we replicate problems that the CEO and his leadership team are focused on, and we ask our more junior staff to take those problems and think about how they may come at it. We've been blown away by the ingenuity, the different thinking, the tech savviness. Equally, those teams have all had a senior sponsor to help them with the CE program. And the resounding feedback is, without that experience, we might not have got to where we wanted. So it's really, really important for that cross-pollination of ideas. But equally, for us to think about who our end customer is as well. So for brokers, going out there and communicating, it's not only their own workforce they have to think about, but think about how your customer wants to be spoken to. Do they want a personal phone call? Do they want to get everything via email? Is text better? Is WhatsApp? How quickly do they want a response? So that's something we started to think about as well as we uplift the capability.
Well, I can tell that it's definitely one of your passions as well as people, which is communication. And I think one of the things that I've seen through the Strive Report is how different generations respond differently or have a different expectation of communication. Is that something that you're seeing as well in our workforce? And what are we doing to bridge kind of that gap of people who want to, you know, receive a text rather than an email or et cetera?
Absolutely. We are seeing that play out. We are definitely seeing people just comfortable in what they know. So if you're comfortable with the written word, email, people struggle to let go of that. People have struggled in the boomer generation to know, well, how do I know it's been actioned if it wasn't in an email? Whereas we get our younger folk only wanting to do things via Teams or in other organizations, Slack, instant gratification, instant messaging, no need. So we've probably got to give it quite a bit more attention. I think what we are doing well, though, is enabling a variety of channels. So we've got the email channel. We've got different ways of communicating with different groups and making sure that we keep those channels open. And we monitor quite closely how things are read on different channels, what the response rate is like. We get quite a bit of feedback as well. How would you like to receive this information next time? What the hit rate's been, et cetera.
And that's really important, I think, going back to what you said about customers. You know, it's not just our workforce. It's
yes.
Also customers. So if, as an insurance company, we think about that when we communicate to our customers or our brokers. But similarly for brokers to think about that when they're communicating to, you know, these different customers that they're dealing with. So I've heard this, and maybe it's not a secret, that insurance isn't very sexy as far as careers go. So if we were in a talent shortage, what are the things that we need to do to attract talent into the industry?
Look, it is difficult when you're in a talent scarce market, because insurance isn't traditionally an industry that people think about joining when they're at school, let alone when they leave school and go to university. However, what we do find is once they do join us, they very rarely want to leave, and they're astounded around the value chain of the skills that they learn and the purpose of insurance and what we're here to do, the exposure to customer. They're actually blown away that actually the skills they learn around data, cyber, reinsurance, etc. But we are being quite deliberate around what we're doing because we can't sit back and just expect people to approach us. So we've got a number of things in train. One of them is our Bright Minds program, and this is absolutely intentionally focused at people more junior in the organization, where we're asking them to come and showcase their talents to us. In an organization of thousands of people, your talents can get hidden, or you can be working, on your computer all day, and people don't know this whole breadth of skills and who you are as a person. So we're getting them to come and showcase themselves to our senior leaders. And that has been really, really amazing. We've seen as a result of that program, a number of our Bright Minds have been promoted into executive manager positions. Others have gone on to take other roles. Some have been put onto secondments. And it's really just enabling us to see the whole person and skills. And it's very deliberate. And we're sort of in the start of that journey, and we've got great plans for how we want to evolve that program.
So that's not necessarily their qualifications, is that just
not at all?
What is that, just interest as well, or what they're passionate about? Is
absolutely
that what that's about?
Yeah. So they definitely talk to us a little bit about their qualifications and what got them here.
Yeah.
We're more interested in their skills. So what are your skills? What can you do? What would you like to do? What's an interesting problem you're observing in our industry? How would you solve it if you were sitting in our shoes? And it's amazing because people are so much more than their qualifications. And then we've got another program where we're not interested in qualifications at all. And it's called our Next Gen program. And those are people that are coming to us straight out of school. And we've got a cohort of people where the average age at the moment is 18 years old. And they've joined us fresh out of school, not knowing the first thing about insurance. And to my earlier point, not thinking they would ever want a job in insurance. And we've got them on a 12-month learning journey where they're going to learn about customer, finance, communication skills, cyber, and get to understand our business. And it's been amazing. We've already placed three of them permanently. They don't want to leave.
Yeah. And that's different to a graduate program, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because they have not gone to university. There's a cohort of people who might not want to go to university or might not have got the HR to do the degree they wanted to do. We're saying, why don't you come and spend some time with us, learn about insurance. We'll teach you on the job. And it's proving to be really successful, and we're about to launch our second cohort of our Next Gen program.
It sounds so interesting. I'd love to be involved in that in the future. And I think
fantastic.
That should resonate to quite a bit of us who, you know, came into insurance without any kind of business or insurance qualifications, or, you know, just got given this job, you know, as a out of school sort of like project.
Exactly.
And a lot of brokers that I know have gotten into insurance exactly that way. So I think, well done. That's really, really great initiative there. I want to spend a little bit of time talking about the Gen Z. Are you seeing stereotypes play into, I guess, our perception of Gen Zs, or are you seeing kind of a little bit of differences between the generations being friends or mixing together? And is there anything that we should be aware of when we see something like that happening?
I'm not seeing anything intentional, but am I seeing enough cross-pollination of the generations? No. So probably not even from a couple of years ago, and maybe COVID had something to do with it. You'd see more people going out for a drink together after work or having lunch together, just collaborating informally. Probably not seeing enough of that, and that we know breaks down social barriers. Are there perceptions? Perhaps. I think it's the tone you set from the top as well. We try and think about getting the best out of every generation, and diversity is about a whole lot of things, from cognitive diversity to experience to gender. So I think the more intentional we are about it, the more we'll break down any stereotypes. I've got people in my team who are Gen Zs, and one of the first things they said to me is, why aren't people in the office more? I like coming into the office. I like seeing people and learning. And I thought, wow, I'd probably pigeonhole you as somebody who wants to work from home.
And 24/7. Similarly, I've had people in my team who are what you would refer to as probably the boomers or the later Gen X, who have been the first adopters. Whenever you introduce technology or anything new, they're always the ones who are really keen to adopt you know, this new technology, because I think it's probably the lack of expectation on things and anything new. They're just, you know, really interested. Whereas I think the younger generation, they probably have an expectation of how, you know, tech should be. So I think you can stereotype quite regularly based on, you know, technology or, you know, age, but I find it's such a mixture of reactions.
Absolutely.
That you get from, you know, different people. As long as you give them some options, then that seems to be in a really good way to expose, you know, some of these intergenerational gaps.
Absolutely.
That we have.
Yeah. And it's a work in progress. You learn as you go.
Yeah.
Might make a few mistakes as you go, but it's good to experiment and try things and see where it takes you as well.
Yeah. So let's look at the future. And I mean, what's your crystal ball telling you? Not very much a personal kind of view, I guess, of the future. What do you think is going to happen, you know, in maybe 5 to 10 years time? If a company does make the most out of each generation, what do you think the future is going to hold? And for a company that does it well, what are the rewards?
Crystal ball, is it? Yeah. What do I think? I think the companies that embrace the best of all the generations are going to be the ones to succeed in the future. I think the companies that think about, as I spoke about earlier, personalization, and not one policy per person or one rule per person, but understanding how to personalize and tweak as you go. Companies that experiment with things, for instance, our next gen, try new things, understand, get a deep understanding of people, are the ones that are going to be successful. None of us really know where the world of work is going to go. There's that much debate about coming back to the office full time. Amazon's just done it. No one would have expected from a company like that. You're hearing the other tech companies saying, no, none of the youth will join you. I'm not so sure it's going to be as black and white as that. I don't think you can be all things to all people. So I think companies need to be very clear about who they are and what they stand for, and be honest about that as well. Because then you're not, there's no false expectations and no disappointment at the end of the day. But I think companies that get the best out of each generation will have a much richer people experience and much richer customer experience as well.
Well, Nat, that has been really great. I'd love to chat with you more about some of the other things that we've discussed over a cup of coffee. But thank you so much for being here and joining us, and also for contributing to the Strive Report.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been my absolute pleasure.
The Strive Report is a ready reckoner for our customers about all things insurance. So if you want to get your hands on the Strive Report, contact your broker. And if you don't have a broker, please visit the website for the National Insurance Brokers Association to find a broker near you. From all of us here at CGU, thank you for tuning in, and I look forward to seeing you at the next edition of the Strive Report.